I'm gonna give me a cool picture and intro one day.
You said what?
Someone give me a cool picture and intro too one day.
We'll get you one. I'll get you one made. I had to adjust it. Welcome to the Then Now live show. This is the second episode of us doing this. We have brother Ethan with me and my boy Lelouch V. Otis East, how y'all doing?
Pretty good, man.
Feeling good, brody? Feeling good. How you living?
Hey, man, I'm chilling. I'm living in anticipation for my concert tomorrow. So I'm trying to get it in the night while I can.
You got Cole concert tomorrow, right?
Yes, sir. My first live music concert I'm going to. My favorite artist, so it is what it is.
Did you almost say favorite? Your first live performance that you almost said?
Yeah, I almost said that. I was like, not yet. Maybe one day. Not yet.
Absolutely.
We'll do a live. We'll do a live Then and Now podcast show at some point.
Yes. I can't wait.
You said. All right, guys.
I want to see a performance. You gotta perform something, Charlie.
Yeah, I'll do. I don't know. I'll figure it out. I had to figure out one of my many talents. today we are discussing Star Wars Visions, guys. The new anime series that has just been put up on Disney Plus. How do you guys feel about it so far? I think it's what 9 episodes in totality.
I think it's 9 so far. Yeah.
And it's anthology series similar to stuff like Gotham Knights or. Cameron, I'm trying to think of other anthology series. Off the top of my head, I can't think of it. Oh, What If? Tripping. Yeah. something similar to Ken's
Love, that. Death, and Robots. You know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Black Mirror. Well, no, it's not similar to Black Mirror, but it's an anthology series.
It's an anthology. Yeah.
How do you guys feel about it? We'll start with Otis.
I have mixed feelings about it. Some of the animation is really nice. They do a pretty good job of kind of pandering to both like the Star Wars fanship and anime fandom. It's because like even go down to like the music, like having the traditional, you know, Japanese instruments playing the Star Wars themes, that was kind of dope in a couple of the episodes. The lightsaber fights are probably the best that they've been on screen, in my personal opinion. I don't think I've seen much. Well, besides not counting season 7 of the Clone Wars series.
You was about to get hit with something just then.
But there was a lot of good things about it. There were some bad things too. Not necessarily on the actual show itself, but it's just the fact that there's a total disconnect between this and the Star Wars universe. I mean, right. Which is necessarily a bad thing. I mean, it is an anthology series. They can do pretty much whatever they want with it, but like there is like it is not even remotely canon. Like it's its own thing completely.
The logo, of course, not logo, but the I guess creed of Star Wars is a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. These are galaxies that are far from each other in times, are all over the place. Yeah. But for what it's worth, I think that can work to its benefit. I mean, obviously, my favorite episode is the first one, which is, spoiler alert for the people who haven't seen it, it's just the genre. It's very much, it's clearly, it's kind of a circle going back around on itself because it was, originally, it was influenced, Spielberg was influenced by Kurosawa and some other samurai films. And this is very much an homage to basically a kind of an ancient feudal Japan version of Star Wars. And it's really in the, even the art style is very much like that. It's black and white, like Yojimbo or whatnot. And it's really cool. I actually really like that one a lot. So it's interesting to see how essentially Star Wars has become so obviously so big and so ubiquitous. Seeing that kind of it's an idea through different lenses, through different artists' hands is fun, I think.
Yeah, man. I'm like kind of with Otis. I enjoyed it a lot. There's a lot of things about it I liked. There are certain things they just said, screw the canon for a lot of different things in the rules. Like there's one thing in particular that killed me. And as soon as I saw it, my immediate thought was just, no, no, no. Yeah, it killed me. I was like, I'm not gonna spoil exactly all the stuff that was, just to keep it spoiler free. But yeah, if you're like a hardcore Star Wars fan and you know all the rules, the Sith and the Jedi, or how kyber crystals work and things like that, you'll look at it kind of sideways. But again, it is fun.
Which, a lot of these shows, which one was this?
This is
the episode two, I believe. No, that was three. The twins.
Oh, the twins budget. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Hated that one. Fucking hated it because it was Gurren Lagann, and y'all know how I feel about that too.
Okay.
Plus, like, let's get into like, okay, let's say you're raising a cult, right? Uh-huh. You already see
perfect hypothetical. Let's say you're raising a cult.
Yeah, you're raising a cult. And from birth, you're raised to believe this one thing. And without any like example of this long journey you went on to learn something different, or like this event that changed you, that you just immediately like, all right, I know I was raised and born to do this one thing, and it's been drilled in my head, but right. out of nowhere, I'm just immediately going to have a 180 character change out of nowhere. I'm just like, this could have been a lot better if we would have seen the progression from like the start of the journey to now, but.
Yes,
I guess that's the kind of disadvantage you have when you have an anthology series. You kind of get a snippet, you have to get the best parts of it. Which Absolutely. A lot of these shows, I wouldn't mind seeing a full like season or a full show of in the future.
Yes, exploring it. Yeah, I agree.
I'm sorry.
No, no, we can go in order from youngest to oldest. So.
No, I was gonna say, there's one episode 7, The Elder, where it's just it's the basic Jedi story. There's a Jedi Master and his Padawan. They go off and fight a Sith Lord. Like, nothing out of the ordinary there, but I would love to see that more. Like, yeah, just give me that series. I'll watch it all. Yeah.
Do it.
I love when Dev has fun. Dev says, oh, it's Sunday. Let me have some fun today. Mm. Perfect. Well done. But yeah, I'm right there with you. I thought the Elder was great. Also, as the resident old ass dude on this show, anything that gives praise to old folks, I'm for it. Whether it be Metamucil, canes with tennis balls at the end of it, Jedi training, I'm on board. I am on board.
I can't with you. Is this what you guys like? For me personally, this is what I wanted from a Star Wars series. I thought like the whole intergalactic like bounty hunting thing was cool and all, but I want to see like so much more focus on the Jedi and the Sith, because I think they have a lot more stories to tell, obviously with the Old Republic being a big example of that, which shout out to them bringing back Star Wars the Old Republic in the game. They're doing just a remaster, I believe, so we'll see how that turns out, but I'm enjoying the series a lot. I enjoy the fights, the music, like you guys said earlier, with the music, like the infusion of like Japanese samurai music, like the flutes and the string instruments. I can't remember the name of the instrument off the top of my head, but the string instruments and all that whole aesthetic being paired along with like Jedi and the Jedi lore and like that action is like, man, this is beautiful to me. I love it.
Yeah, 100%. Did y'all ever see that on Cartoon Network back in the day, they had Genndy Tartakovsky's Star Wars, like the Clone Wars series? It came mm-hmm. out.
That was great.
It was great. But that was where they first introduced General Grievous. And there was an episode, it was like the season finale for the season finale, right, Otis? Where it was like 7 minutes. All the episodes before they were like 5 minutes, but this one was like 7 minutes. And the entire episode had like one line of dialogue, and it was one scared, shitless Jedi saying, "We can't beat them," basically. And then the rest of the episode is
murking us team of Jedi. It was dope.
It's equivalent to Madara laying hands on all those ninjas, basically, but just for 7 minutes as opposed to for a whole episode. And he just destroyed one guy without a lightsaber, literally tears apart an entire squad of Jedi, and they're afraid of him. Mm-hmm. But that couldn't have been, no offense, but I don't think in live action they could have done it nearly as well as what Genndy and his team did in animation. And that's what I kind of was hoping for with Visions, with an anthology series with different artists, especially in the anime genre, Japanese artists and animators doing this kind of thing. So it's I'll put a call out there to you. I know my buddy Nigel is watching. He's an animator himself. That's what you should do. Take advantage of the genre you're working with to do things that can't be done in other genres, and just go ham, have fun,
Yeah, they took the best parts of Star Wars and the best parts of anime and threw it together, and it was like, all right. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, when we initially saw, we were like...
But they threw parts. Really?
Well, for some episodes, I will say there. Like, that first episode was a content.
It was fire.
I was like, that was beautiful. It felt like Ghost of Tsushima in space is what it felt like.
Oh, yeah. That'd be dope. Could you imagine that, though? That's what it is, basically. Mm-hmm. Sci-fi Ghost of Tsushima.
That's what, like, that's my favorite. Like, that Japanese samurai aesthetic is like my favorite. I'm biased towards it. Like, I can watch that all day with the flutes and mostly the music. It gets me a lot, but like I can watch it all day. I can do that all day.
I'm right there with you. Samurai, ninja, like the old school Japanese stuff. It just has an allure to it that you just can't get away from. Like,
right.
Yeah, like things like Ghost of Tsushima. Even though I talk shit about it all the time, like, you know, Rurouni Kenshin, Samurai 7, like things like that. They just have their draw for me. It's like I have to at least watch it.
Right. The updated version with Samurai 7, how it's basically an updated version of the Seven Samurai, mm-hmm. it kind of does lean towards that a little bit with the aesthetic of a steampunkish, sci-fi-ish.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're fighting mechs.
So. They're fighting mechs, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's actually, really good, too. Samurai 7's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. I had to specifically leave Yasuke off on list, though.
Yeah, I would, too. That's fine. But you were saying, though, that you think Ninja Scroll is probably the best of them all? You think Ninja Scroll is the top of the food chain that you can't understand why more folks
next week, I will have a whole little package of this live video just for
you. Yes, sir. I'm looking forward to next week. By the way, we're also going to have a whole Loose Cannons on Ninja Scroll. This East.
Oh, you wanna go?
We're dancing. Okay. We are dancing. It's a trap.
Don't do it.
I don't know what I'm saying is a trap for. If it's for me or for Otis,
don't do it. Don't do it.
But just be known. This is actually on the record. We're recording this too. There will be an official dance next week. We're doing it. Otis and I, somehow pertaining to Ninja Scroll. Just know that if you haven't seen Ninja Scroll, don't worry. I'm gonna drag Otis over to your place. We're all gonna watch it together.
Oh, I can't wait. That's going to be funny. I'm going to watch that one for sure. In totality with this series, because, again, we're avoiding spoilers, so we don't want to get super deep into it. So I think that's about as much as we can say without spoiling stuff. So far off initial review, what do you guys want to rate this out of 10 from what you've seen so far? Because I know we haven't watched the entire thing.
I can't do a full-on rating for it just because, like, each episode is rated completely different. Like I said, the first episode, the duel, mm-hmm. that's at least a solid 8 for me. Mm-hmm. That the next episode when they were like trying to make a band and doing the rock concert, it's like a 6. The twins is like a -4 for me because like negative. It's Gurren Lagann and I hate Gurren Lagann.
Was that the artist that did Gurren Lagann? Because it looks a lot like
it might not have been the exact artist, but it looked so much like it. It's like this is Gurren Lagann. Like, then the Ninth Jedi episode 5. That's a 9, maybe 10 for me.
Damn, man, I finished this. I'm like literally 5 minutes into it, and so far I'm cringing.
Yeah, I feel like, bizarrely enough, I kind of agree. So I wouldn't say give the other episode a -4, but I would rate the same episodes as highly as the Otis. I'd probably say the first one's a 9, though. The Ninth Jedi, I'd give a 9. The Elders, I give it 8.5, 8 maybe. Yeah, so yeah.
There's literally an Astro Boy episode. Like, he looks like Astro Boy. Like, it's Astro Boy plucky, completely. Yeah. Just like,
plucky Astro Boy.
No. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think overall I'll agree with Otis that it's hard to really give it a ubiquitous score for all of them. But in general, I would give the idea of doing this a solid 8 because it's fun. You can tell Disney all the micromanaging they did on the films, and then we're not gonna get into that right now, but with the main canon Saga series, Skywalker Saga series, things kind of went weird and fell off the rails, and got wonky. Then with the other films, the Outliers, it was Solo and the micromanagement with Rogue One, things got a little weird. But with this, it feels very much like they said, "Look, you guys have fun, do your thing." Essentially, we trust you, mm-hmm. and there wasn't any of that influence. There wasn't any external pressure from the top brass, and I actually really appreciated that. So the fact that something like this can exist, an anime series, anthology series with Star Wars that wasn't tampered with by the powers that be, that makes me happy. So I got to give it a solid 8 just for that. Just for that.
Yeah, I'm just surprised something in Star Wars was good that wasn't directed or created by Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau.
Right.
Like, right. Finally, somebody did something else besides them to make something good in the series.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So as far as that, all our, I think, oh, I'm gonna rate it myself. I think from what I've seen so far, I personally would give it around like 8.8. I ain't gonna give it a 0.5, just an 8. From the 4.5 episodes I've seen so far, I've enjoyed what I've seen so far. Even like the bad episodes per se weren't terrible to me. They were like, they were watchable. They're in enjoyable to some aspects, but it's been good so far. I can't wait to finish the series out.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. Switching gears, going into the main topic of this episode, something that I've been looking forward to since we planned this out. We all know a lot about the Sith and a lot about the Jedi, but we don't know where we believe, one, we would lie right now, and what side we prefer to be on. So, guys, I asked the question of who would you prefer, or which order would you prefer to be a part of, the Sith Order or the Jedi Order? And I guess we'll start with Ethan this time, Age Before Beauty.
Thanks, and screw you. I would, bizarrely enough, I realized in my life, in my old age, in my beautiful old age, that I'm probably closer to being a Sith in some ways. Not that I would go around trying to, because obviously in Star Wars, they had the rule of two, where you have to essentially, you're almost destined to kill your master. That's going to happen. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't be on board with that or wanting my protege to kill me. But I'm much more of a loner in lots of ways than I am as opposed to a big, huge overall team player. And the idea, too, of having to be so celibate and give up so many things drastically at such a young age and commit yourself to, you know, essentially a religion like that, it wouldn't appeal to me. I'd be more rebellious. In actuality, I'd probably be closer to a white Jedi, like a Ahsoka. But Gray, it's a gray Jedi, right? Gray. But if gray is off the table, if we're going more, you know, absolute, I would say Sith. Mm-hmm.
We're going absolute because I feel like most people would fall as a gray Jedi anyway, like average people. But we're gonna keep it absolute. Keep in mind that with the Sith Order, if you choose that, you do have to watch your back 24/7 because somebody will be trying to knock you off at any moment, at any time. Even people in the same mission as you will try to knock you off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but even I guess the thing is, even with a Jedi, they gotta. I mean, they're constantly fighting.
You gotta watch out for Sith. You gotta watch out for the Sith.
Watch out for Sith. And I agree with Nebo. It's the lightsabers, the red lightsabers. Boy,
they hit different.
Those oh, come on now. That's dope as hell. I'll let y'all go. One thing, one real quick note. One of my biggest gripes about the prequels was in Episode 3. When Anakin and Obi-Wan are fighting at the end, they're both swinging blue lightsabers. Like, come on, give them a red one. Or what are y'all doing? So, yeah, red lightsabers are the best.
I'll save myself for last. Mr. Otis East. Well, I immediately know as soon as you decided this, your immediate thought process was.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much. Absolutely. There is no universe where I would even attempt to be a Jedi, knowing all the stuff that they have to give up. No. Sorry. Mm-mm. Give up emotion. Give up any type of personal relationship. Give up personal life at all. You just serve it. Fuck that. Sorry.
You have carbs. You have carbs, too.
No. Yeah. No. Like, you tell me I'm one of the most powerful people in the known universe at this point, and I have to be a monk. Stop it. No. Mm-mm, can't do it.
That's plus, a I good want point.
Oh, like, you're the most lightning powers.
Yeah, you're basically, you're not broken, but you're extremely OP, right? And they're also telling you, well, by the way, all that great power, do nothing with it. Sit over here in a brown towel and jack off to, you know, a statue. It's like, why? Oh, no, come on now.
I don't even. Are you allowed to jack off as a Jedi? I
feel like that's against the code. No, you're not. So no, that's yeah.
Damn, this is a Pizza Pizza statue. Oh my god! That's how
I'm not. No king shame. No king shame. If you're into statues, do your thing.
Statues be kind of thick, man. What can I say?
They be kind of thick.
I mean, but you. with the Force, you could probably, like, you don't even need the statue. You could probably, like put your brain over to where someone is having sex and just watch it, I guess. I don't know. It's a random Force ability.
By the way, we need, this is the next Visions. We need to have a whole anthology series about the different, like, kinks that Jedi and Sith do with their...
Hey, this sounds like a whole segment on superhero sexuality. Right here.
I'm actually putting that on the list right now. You're a good man. You're a good man. Good idea.
Do it.
Sure. Don't mind if I do. Yeah, put that on this.
So for me personally, right, I'm gonna be the oddball out here. I think I'm gonna lean more towards the Jedi, just because me knowing what I know about the Sith Order and how they operate. One, I'd be hurt if I trained this person their entire life, or for majority of their childhood, to be strong as hell, and I'm like investing my time in them and not have to worry about them stabbing me in the back, literally and figuratively. Not only them, but like any other person I would consider an ally will stab me in the back or like decapitate me at any moment, because if I'm in a position of power, and if I'm not there, they'll treat me like fodder or like trash because I'm not as strong as them. I'd rather be a Jedi. I'm chilling. I'll sit in my towel on the, an amazing view in the Republic, and it's chill. And when I pass away, I'm a ghost spirit. I'm a Jedi spirit. So I'm chilling for eternity, man. I'm not trying to want no smoke with. Did you think about it? Like, if you watch, there was a Star Wars: The Old Republic, like a little a cutscene, like for the beginning of the game in general, where you see like two Sith board this Republic vessel, and they're trying to hunt for, they're just trying to take it over. This is like when they got back to Korriban, and the two Sith warriors, they defeat everybody or whatever, and they're chilling. He's like, man, Padawan, look at it. It's Korriban. This is the home of our people. He's like, yes, master, it is. And then 2 seconds later, like, bloop, and I'm going to hold the power. I'm like, man, you just fought to the death and was helping each other out. Like, they were tag teaming homeboy and killed him. Yeah. And then he just killed you 2 seconds later. I'm like, nah, I'm cool. I don't want that smoke.
That's why you got to pay attention to who you training. I'm not feeling like.
Yeah, he wasn't surprised.
No, I don't like this one. We're gonna go to the next Padawan. What is the apprentice?
Yeah. The ruler too. Yeah. Well, the thing is, as a Sith, you want to try to get the strongest apprentice possible. But the caveat to that is, you got to make sure you're strong. You got to teach them everything they know, but not everything you know. So you always keep a leg up on them.
Yeah, and that, and that's but there, that's the, that's something, and we're gonna get too philosophical for those who are, who are watching, but. There's always an Oedipal complex when it comes to protege and mentor. I know that even with my own proteges. And there's going to be a point where they're always going to try to challenge you and be better than you. There's a time where they're eager to learn from you, and there's going to be a time when they're eager to be better than you or show you how they can outdo what you can do. It's going to happen. So in the world of the Ruler 2 and Sith, it's just taken to a different degree, but it's always there. Thinking about like Batman and Robin, Batman and Dick Grayson, great dude, but even there came a point where he's like, I can't be around you anymore. I gotta be my own man. Batman and Jason Todd, homicidal killer. But so I mean, it's going to happen. It's inevitable, but it's just how you know what you do with it.
For situations like that, if I'm a Sith Lord, like, have you guys ever seen Blade 2?
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure. Remember that bomb he put in the back of Ron Perlman's head?
Yeah.
That's how I'm. Yeah,
mm-hmm. You're gonna put a bomb in your protege's head.
Hold this lightsaber. I made this one just for you.
Mm-hmm. But the thing you got to worry about it. Have you played? You played the Star Wars: The Old Republic, the online game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you see that a lot, where like when you're like in the beginning parts of the game, when you're trying to get off Korriban, all your masters are putting these like restrictions on you, and not teaching you everything. So you're like, all right, he don't want to teach me nothing. I'm about to go to the tombs and learn from the ghost of Tulak Horde and learn how to fucking use super lightning or use some trick that she didn't even know about. And he pulls back up on you, and he evaporates your soul with force lightning, and you didn't know he could do that yet.
He pull up on me. That's what the explosive and the lightsaber is for.
It's like, he won't need to use it. Hmm? If he's an Inquisitor, he got lightning. He don't need to use it.
I'm going to train him in lightsaber stuff first. That's going to be... Keep your lightsaber by your side always. That is the first step of my training. Drill that into you. I'm gonna attack you with my lightsaber. I'm gonna cut off some fingers or something. It's like, well, you have your lightsaber. You have your lightsaber.
You're assuming you're gonna be a Jedi at that point. They'll listen to you. With the Sith, like literally, they make it apparent to where like they'll listen to their master in front of them, behind their back, they want to learn more stuff and do something completely different. Or probably he's gonna second guess you and be like, why does he want me to hold this lightsaber so bad? Oh, there's a bomb in it.
Yeah, because I'm gonna teach him that. So you're supposed to always be ready to fight. Always be ready to fight. Have that lightsaber ready.
Yes, and I think that's human nature, or living organic being nature. Even Jedi do that. You see that with the good Jedi, like with Ahsoka, when Anakin. If you're watching Clone Wars, Anakin would tell her something, and of course she want to do something else. Or if Obi-Wan told Anakin to do something, he want to do something else. Regardless if you're quote unquote on the light side or the dark side, it is human nature to want to learn on your own and to want to challenge things you're told. So I don't think that's inherently evil. You're almost saying that because you're a Sith, you're going behind your mentor's back and learning behind their back. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good thing. You should learn on your own and do things and strive. And if you're learning how to kill them, that's obviously a little different, but you're always going to be learning on your own.
What I'm saying is you look at, there are a small minority of the Jedi in that order that do what Anakin, Kenobi, and Ahsoka do, where they question things. Yep. And even then, between them, they question stuff, but they still follow orders until they get betrayed. Like you look at Ahsoka and her being kicked out of the order. It wasn't until that happened where she's like, oh, they don't trust me. Or I've been following these rules for no reason. Mm-hmm. Even with Anakin, he's like, I'm trying to like live my life the best I can, but they don't want me to.
Right.
Versus the Sith, where it's like, you're trained, don't trust anybody, even people that they tell you to trust. I just learned that mostly from playing Star Wars Old Republic, because in the game, they give you so many different avenues. Like, I think literally there's a whole, like, either in the beginnings of the game, you have a master, and she gives you he gives you a faulty lightsaber. But he gives you a lightsaber that doesn't work to the best of his ability. And then you find out that, you realize that it's not because it's trash. And then you go to the tomb, like the Korriban tombs or whatever, and you get a better weapon from the tombs, and you learn, you get like a slave, or it's like an android type deal that fought with the old Sith Lord. You get a new lightsaber and you learn Force Lightning. You learn all that by yourself, went back and fucked up that master, took his spot. And now, you know what I mean? Like, so within the Sith Order, they teach you to not only learn what you can from your master, but take it with a grain of salt and try to dethrone him as soon as possible.
Right. Right.
To answer Craig's question, do the Jedi have an end goal? Like, they just want balance, right? Just like, as long as everything is balanced, then whatever.
Yeah. I believe that's their end goal is, I know obviously the
picture. Charlie would know better than I would.
Yeah, the end goal is for bring balance to the Force and chill out. And Sith is like nonstop gaining of power.
Be as strong as
you can. Literally, they're Goku. Literally is what they was it the Sith are.
Well, but Goku isn't a bad dude. But here's one thing about this has been a faulty, something that Luke does touch on essentially in The Last Jedi. The idea of what the Jedi want most is, like you said, this balance, right? Think about how unbalanced the Jedi and the Sith are in the universe, especially if you look at the prequels. It's like there's a whole bunch of Jedi running around, sitting around, just doing not much of anything, really, but enjoying their fame and their glory. And there's a couple of Sith out in the outskirts. Essentially, it's already wildly imbalanced. Mm-hmm. And Anakin does bring balance. He actually makes things much more equal. I mean, it's brutal, but it happens. I don't know if the Sith end game is to be the absolute only dominant power out there in the world, but I do think that I feel like a world with too many Jedi is just, that's a mess too. There's got to be, I don't think either side can self-sustain. Both sides have to exist together. That's the whole idea. They really do have to exist. And I think the Jedi lost sight of that. Also, another thing you brought up, the idea with Ahsoka, how she was, exiled more. She was betrayed by the Jedi. The entire Council of that Order, they were so up their own asses in some ways. They were blinded, too blind to see what was happening. They didn't realize that Ahsoka was, a victim of someone else, another perpetrator. Also, they didn't see what was happening. They trained Anakin to become what he did. The Jedi are the Council in a lot of ways. They're foolish. They're not the wisest people. So I wouldn't want to dedicate my life to people I don't necessarily trust the judgment of. Fair enough, like you're saying, the Sith can be devious.
Especially since, Palpatine was there the whole time.
Like, and they didn't, none of them caught that? None of them. It's like, what are you doing?
It's like, I've been running both the Sith and the Jedi for like 40 years. Like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Plagueis before that. Plagueis was running.
Right.
Right.
Yoda was wise. So
Yoda's wise, but he was also blind. He's blind. He can be wise and still make a mistake. He made some mistakes. Yeah, because Yoda says, I don't feel good about training this kid, Anakin, to be who he is, but clearly you're going to do it anyways, Obi-Wan, so okay. So if he had been wise, he'd have said, no, I know this shouldn't happen. I'm not allowing you to train him. And if you do train him, I'm going to exile both of y'all. Qui-Gon was cool. I love Qui-Gon. Had a great beard. But nah, he shouldn't be here.
Yeah. To answer your question earlier, Otis, as far as the end goals, I pulled up the mantras and the code for each order. Then I'm going to just recite them off real quick and kind of through these codes, you'll get an idea of what their end goal is. So for the Sith, it starts as stated, peace is a lie. There's only passion. Through passion, I gain strength. Through strength, I gain power. And through power, I gain victory. Through victory, my chains are broken and the Force shall set me free.
That's amazing.
So their whole thing is
dope as hell. I'm fully erect hearing that. That's fantastic. Please go on. Please go on.
It's the gaining of as much power as possible as them. It's for them, and their mentality is the more power I have, the more freedom I have over my own destiny. So I can do whatever the hell I want to do.
Which is accurate.
That's exactly what that thing is. Yes.
In regards to the Jedi, there is no emotion, there is peace. There is no ignorance, there is knowledge. There is no passion, there is serenity. There is no chaos, there is harmony. There is no death, there is the Force. So for them, it's just be at peace with everything. Everything's going to find a way to work itself out. In my interpretation of the code.
I can respect that.
I didn't. Like, there is no passion. Like, as soon as you said that, I was like, what are you doing? Like, if you're not passionate about anything, what are you doing anything for?
What I think the interpretation of that is to, like, oh god!
By the way, I love Ahsoka. I love Ahsoka. So you can call me him all day, and I will only shake your hand that much harder. Yeah.
For my interpretation of that is with passion in particular. I think with each one of these codes, they look into the extreme of each scenario. So when you look at someone who's passionate about something, or go as far as to do whatever they can do in their power to get something done, and in a lot of scenarios that can be good, whether if it's like a good thing, or in other scenarios it can be bad. I think with the Jedi and the Sith, the whole point is they're like an exaggerated form on each side. There's no, which is why you get to the Gray Jedi code, which is here in between, where it says there is no dark side nor a light side. There's only the Force. I will do what I must to keep the balance. There is no good without evil, but evil must be allowed to flourish. There is passion yet peace. There is serenity yet emotion. There is chaos yet order.
Yeah, so that's the gray.
That's the right one. That's the right one right there.
Gray is absolute. Gray is right.
Out of the two, 100% on the Sith side.
Like, yeah, there's. I mean, that's here. What are we talking about here? I mean, Charlie.
Like, if I was to hear that speech from a Jedi and a Sith, like, and I was like, yeah, pick which one? That guy. Yep.
That's the thing, though. We need to do that. We need to actually go to some people who do not know. We don't keep it completely impartial. Essentially, just approach them. And simply read the credos of both those sides, and actually see how many people would choose which one they would choose. Essentially, I'm willing to wager you'd have more people choosing the Sith side than the Jedi side, especially in our community. Artists, blurreds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you look at, I think for sure in America, because America is really a individualistic cult. I can't speak today. You know what I'm trying to say.
Individualistic.
We're in our culture and where we go about things like that. And I believe that is that's the way to go about it with the Sith. I think as far as you look at some third world countries or community or countries that we talked about it in the Watchtower episode, Otis, where you have countries like in Brazil where they're more community based, where it's like, if I have it, they have it. If they have it, I have it. I think they'll lean more towards the Jedi because it's like, hey, we're all in this together. And as long as we support each other, we'll be fine. And I think that's the interpretation when it comes to translating those creeds to actual life or real life to me. Kind of just depends on the kind of culture your country has.
That's fair. I agree with that. That's fair. It does seem it's not deliberately self-serving, but it is much more like I'm trying to fulfill my passion. I'm trying to become the CEO of this company, rise to the top. Not that I need to put other people down to do it, but it is about my own self-interest more so than those around me. In the Jedi, it does seem very much like my only goal really is for all of us to prosper, for all of us to be at peace, for all of us to be in harmony. Clearly, it says harmony. So that's fair.
Exactly.
That's fair.
But, like, do they really? Because, like, let's think about, like, in the time of peace before, like, you know, the Separatist War and stuff like that, there are still, like, planets out there overrun with slavers, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. bounty hunters existed. Like, there's a lot of room going on in that galaxy that the Jedi was like, yeah, it's all over there, you know? Yeah. Like, so, like, do they really want peace, or do they just, like, we want peace here?
So, referring to the canon, the way, the reason that was so bad is because the Jedi Order, I think they partnered up with the Republic or whatever to bring peace throughout the galaxy or whatever. But you saw they pretty much used the Jedi like the military to where, yeah, you're a force, but now you're a force sanctioned by us. So if you go outside of our bounds,
right,
we will take you out. So they have to operate within. That's the reason that the Chancellor had so much power and say so about where they went and what they did. Because the Republic in totality has that power. So they can only do so much.
All right, even on Coruscant, you know, there was a whole episode where Ahsoka went to the slums of Coruscant, and you saw mm-hmm. how fucked up that was. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are they really actually doing?
I think when you look at, like, stuff like the Old Republic era, when they're, like, there's a lot more peace in that era, because, again, like, they took over and damn near annihilated the Sith, and everybody was chilling. But when you get into, that era in particular, they were more used like tools, which is why Palpatine wanted to be the Chancellor so bad, because he could control them inside out.
Right. And he was a Sith. So, but I think one thing, too, and just to just Craig real quick. Yes, mm-hmm. that's true. But also his goal was not for, you know, for international equality or balance. He just wanted to be. It was only his own self-interest. Mm-hmm. It was only what I want, and that was
Hitler,
the Aryans.
Yeah, the Aryans. It was very skewed and everything else. But he may have been passionate about it, but you can be passionate about good things. Like, obviously, we're passionate about doing this show and not destroying a race of people. But true.
I think that's why that creed is a thing in general, is to, like, instead of, like, picking out individual things to be passionate about, they're like, just to be safe, we'll exclude passion from the topic, because we can have stuff like this where we're passionate about our podcast, but then you can also have people like Hitler who is passionate about genocide. Go ahead.
Most people who are of the cloth, people who are, you know, whether they're pastors or reverends or what have you, you see them up there in the pulpit. They are clearly passionate about talking about God. If they weren't passionate about it, they'd fall out of grace with them. They'd essentially say, I'm walking away from this. This isn't good enough for me. This isn't jive with me. I feel like to truly be successful in anything you do, any of your real pursuits, you have to be passionate about it. Y'all know that I'm 40 years old and I spent, you know, countless years pursuing becoming a professional comic book writer and writer in general. I don't see that as a negativism as far as like pursuing a passion in the arts, but if I wasn't 100% in, I had to get up a long time ago. I had to make the choice that I was going to be broke. I was going to have to, you know, walk with my family, all these different types of things. It's because of passion. It comes a trade-off, sure, but passion is what drives. Passion is what gets things done oftentimes in life. If you're half-assed about anything, or even the Bible says being lukewarm is basically a sin. So I do think passion is necessary. The idea that Jedi are almost saying to not be passionate, I feel like that's folly in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you talk about the non-passionate, church person, I'm just like, they say God is okay instead of God is good. Like, God is cool, you know?
Yeah,
he's whatever. Cool. What you like?
Yeah, all right.
Right. But another thing, too, Dev, that you mentioned, you talk about the idea, like, they're supposed to be, originally what Jedi were supposed to be was not international, intergalactic military. They were supposed to be peacekeepers. So they would all have their own little place. They were. If a problem arose, they would deal with it essentially as they saw fit to help things out, to help keep things balanced. But having a person, you know, actually have them militant and going out and doing their things, that does cause a problem. That was also addressed in Civil War, Marvel Civil War, where that was a whole debate that Captain America and Iron Man were having, where they were like, Captain America was saying, if we are behest to, you know, a prisoner or anybody else or Ross, whatever it is, we would basically become a hired gun for that person's point of view, as opposed to us being able to govern ourselves and decide what we think is the right thing to do.
Exactly.
So
I think, when you get into, so I guess another hypothetical situation, let's say that this podcast blows up and we're approached by like Disney, right? Disney's like, we'll give you $5 million if you do your show, but you do your show on topics that we approve of. Yeah. So that point in time, that's exactly. So you get into a slippery slope where we have more access. We can do our, we can get our ventures. Like we can write all the comics. We can produce all the movies with that money. But now we're restricted to where we can only do things if we're sanctioned off, or maybe they have us do things that we don't normally agree with, but because we're under a contract, we have to do them. So I think that's when, like with the Jedi in particular, you have a thing where you have a goal, which for us, that goal would be just provide great content entertainment and for those who protect the galaxy. And you may not have all the resources to do that immediately, to do what you want to do to the quality you want to do it. So you take some help from these people that will give you all the ships, all the money, all the funding, and the places you need to train at. But in return, you can only do what they want you to do. Example being, like, you see that in those slums, you don't really see any Jedi anywhere else unless it's inside the temple or they're like sent out somewhere else.
Right. Oh man. But yeah,
I got some hot takes. I'll take them. I accept mine.
No, it's I love your voice, Brody. You're good. Your voice is great, and your face is very unblurry. It's very unblurry. But I like what you said.
It's the ring light.
It's the ring. Yeah, the ring light is actually dope, though. Actually, it's really good.
Man, I said the skin popping.
But I like what you said there, Dev. If it does come at a cost, if you are going to forsake your artistic integrity, as they say. With knowledgeably, knowingly saying, like, I'm willing to sacrifice my own voice for a profit or for new ships or for, you know, new gear, new clothes. I'm not the biggest fan of that, but I understand that it at some point, if you're trying to sustain yourself, to be able to just live your life where you only had to worry about your passion as opposed to having two or three other jobs to take care of it, to make ends meet. I get it. And it is it's a tricky line to walk. It's tricky line to walk. I think it boils down to how far they're asking you to go against, possibly against your morals or your beliefs. With the Jedi, if, you know, the Chancellor had been overtly saying, like, do these evil deeds, what have you, and the Jedi were still on board with it, what the hell's wrong with the Jedi? But if the Chancellor's pretty much just like, you know, I want things to be run like this. I will, of course, provide, you know, a nice huge blanket of money or whatever it is. And you don't understand. They don't up front. You don't see any, you know, horrible red flags. I can understand where that comes from. Wait,
can we talk about, like, how Palpatine really finessed his way into taking over that galaxy, though?
He's like, galaxy. Oh,
yeah, I'm gonna, you know, boost up these separatists, make them do all these things just so the army that I really want to support can go out and crush them. And now we got the galaxy. Like, you know, we got it.
Like, to be the Star Wars nerd I am again, I'm getting elaborate on that scenario in general. Palpatine, he did a lot of that stuff, but a lot of stuff was already set up by Plagueis. Literally, it was like Plagueis set all the stuff up. Palpatine's like, I like what you're doing there. Poisoned them, killed them. All right, I'm here now. It's what I'm on right now. I'm finishing this out.
Hey, I like our plan. Our plan.
Right. Because I think also in the canon and the lore too, like Plagueis and like a lot of things that Plagueis did, he was talking to Palpatine about them. Like they actually kind of came up with them. Like you and I, Dev, you and I obviously started this podcast together. A lot of the things we talked back and forth about them, we worked on them together. It's kind of the same thing with Plagueis. It wasn't like Plagueis had all these mastermind ideas by himself and Palpatine was just sitting back there watching. They were discussed together.
I remember Plagueis died. Plagueis was killed right before the beginning of the Phantom Menace. Like he died right before that started.
I was still hoping they, like, I know it's impossible for them to put them in Last Jedi, but I was hoping there's some way that in some extended lore they'll put him, he'll make an appearance or something, a flashback or somewhere they'll put him in something. But
wait. The perfect evolution of beers. Wait, where's the line go? Like
it's saying from, I think it's saying from right to wait. So are they saying that the next step for me is Otis's beard, and then from that is Charlie's beard? If they switch Charlie, yeah, Charlie. So Charlie, switch you and Otis, if you can do that. Switch you and Otis then.
Hey, this isn't even my final form, baby.
It's like, yeah, I think my beard is a little bit more full.
I just got a cut. I just got lineup, so I'm straight. That's why I'm like, we tried a new style. I didn't. Outside of going, I didn't want the Rick Ross no more for a minute. I was like, the Rick Ross getting kind of old. Let me go a little thin. Let me line it up. Let me get the Michael B. Jordan on him real quick.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's all right. You know what I'm saying? It's not bad looking. You know what I'm saying? But I like having a little, you know, a little scruff hanging. Just me. How we go from sis to comparing beards? Hey,
like, I'll get passionate about my beard any day, man. Don't let me. I put effort into this. I've been growing this since high school. It's to just we just
passion not leads connect. To the dark side, man. Passion leads to the dark side.
So my beard leads to the dark side.
Hey, hey, that's what the Jedi say. That's what your side that you pick said.
Oh my god. Yeah, we just like he'd probably be back in a second. I think he just lagged out or he had stuff shut down. But yeah, man, this is we're getting towards the end now. I'm trying to extend this a little bit longer to see if he can pop back in for his segment. But we're getting through the end. There he is. There he is. We're getting near the end of the show. We're trying to extend it out so you can come back.
Sorry about that.
Before we finish out, we want to do some quick plug-in. You know, thank all five people that have been watching this entire time. I think I haven't seen anything you were watching the entire show we've done in a minute. So I appreciate it. I think thank you for
it. Much obliged. Much obliged.
So if you like this content, we have some more stuff coming for you. Coming up soon, again, I'll promote it again. Me and E have our first video essay coming out pretty soon on the history of Halloween. We're going to drop hopefully next month sometime, just about going into history of Halloween itself, into video games, costumes, all that good stuff. And then secondly, as far as our stuff goes, we have another comic that me and my best friend from middle school working on producing for the pod, or underneath the pod, that it's going to be dope, man. I'm excited to get this done. And be a supporter of Echelon Comics as well. They have good stuff like Slayton Ash. There's a great comic that is like a zombie detective comic that's going on. If from my best comparison, I'd be something like iZombie. If that's is that correct?
Yeah, partially.
It's like a zombie buddy cop type show. That's
my sentient zombies. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's everything on our side. Otis, you have anything else you want to plug?
I gotta do the commercial. Unfortunately, but I'm gonna stop it.
Fortunately, no. Fortunately,
better be unfortunately. I put work into this one.
You did. I just hate my part of it. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the part. That
don't let Craig get in your head, man. Don't let Craig talk about your voice get in your head, brother.
All right, let it roll. We got it roll.
Hey anyone watching this, I'm Roosh V, and this is a message from Birdproof Entertainment. Us here at Birdproof Gaming want to let you know about our next big event. On October 1st, we'll be hosting our very first video game tournament. This will be an online Mortal Kombat 11 tournament. We will have Mortal Kombat Extraordinaire, Armani Vince as our MC. Our grand prize is going to be $250 cash. $250 cash. We'll be giving out cash prizes to our top 8 contestants. And we'll be raffling off some cash in between matches, so there's plenty of reasons to tune in. There is a $10 entry fee, and you must be able to stream to Twitch upon entry. And since this is an online tournament, a strong internet connection is required, because if you have repeated connection issues, you will be disqualified. To enter, all you gotta do is go to our Birdproof Entertainment link tree. You have to go to the Birdproof Entertainment link tree, click the link. Yes, follow the link.
Yeah, I'm gonna cut it there because that was gonna take you to an outdated version of that. But yeah, if you follow that link, go to our link tree, go to that link. It'll take you to Facebook where you can register. Be sure to send your money to the Blurtapproof Cash App. I'll put that in the comments for anybody that needs it. Craig said, come get you a bag with Blurtapproof Gaming.
Yeah,
that's right. Man, Craig, we appreciate you, man, for showing love, man. You've been on this show for a minute now, and I really appreciate like the support. I know if we don't say it often, when we say it, we gonna mean it. I love you, man. Thank you for showing up, and thank you for enjoying the content.
Thank you, Nebo, for showing up. Thank you, Rain. We know Rain's always in here, so thank you all. Real quick,
Polar Knights, you dropped the comment of the day, so gotta get a shout out to you too. Come put on back up there for a second.
Yes. it was such a good comment that it literally knocked me offline. So well done. Real quick though, we do have to address this elephant in the room too. October is Halloween, Fear Fest. People love getting scared. And no one loves getting scared more than Otis East. That's why he's going to be playing and streaming all kinds of great games on his brand new Sony PS5 console. So So if you're interested in watching Otis East and his beard get scared to pieces, please come and join us for that coming up in October.
Gotcha. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about before we close out?
Of course. One last thing. I got to plug at my other show that I have. Where is it? Is it
I need a clip. I never get tired of this clip.
This is actually different. It's a different clip, but it's for the show called Superhero. It's a Superhero Sexualis, which is a show that's all about discussing the dirty side of pop culture. What hero do you think, or even a comic book character that's kind of a hero adjacent or whatnot, can you see going down on their partner or just someone they like?
So many. So Gambit. First off, okay, all right,
that's
all right.
That's a given. That's
Gambit eats so much pussy. All right. You have no idea. Face deep in it all the time.
Fair.
You can tell. He says share.
Oh. That's why his eyes are red. It's like he's just down there all the time. It's this pink eye. He had caught me a pink eye.
That's gross.
Pink eye.
No king shame, but
you know where pink eye comes from, right? Like, that's the concept.
No.
No.
We get into all that fun stuff, and Otis and Charlie will both be on there. Charlie will be on there this week discussing werewolves and bestiality. So
yeah, I'm excited. Bring all my underworld.
Please,
knowledge.
You have to talk about Beastars on the episode. You have to talk about Beastars, please.
Oh, do. The anime. I hadn't even thought about Beastars. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
We'll bring it up. If they don't bring it up, I'll bring it up.
We'll bring it up.
All right. Again, thank everybody for tuning in. Thank you for showing.
Wait. You must have got the last part.
Oh, where?
Final segment.
Oh yeah. I forgot you. They want to do that. My bad, everybody. Hold on.
Of course, I want to do that. I'm talking about.
Let's go ahead and get into this. Wait, take it away, Mr. Murphy.
All right. So either or is a simple game that I can play here. It's where I pose a challenge to both Otis and Charlie. Either they do this or they do this. And they have to show their work as to why they're making the choice that they make. So this week's either or is, of course, going to be a Star Wars theme. And what the theme is going to be is that you have to take down the Emperor himself in a battle, one-on-one battle. Now, in order to do this, you have to be trained up either by Darth Vader or Yoda. However, your starting point is essentially their starting point, which means if you want to be trained by Vader, the Sith Lord, to take down the Emperor, you have to have your limbs manged up and everything else and get burnt like Vader. But you will then be, of course, OP as hell with a badass red saber and a pimp cape. However, or I guess I could say either or, you could be trained by Yoda, which means you start off as baby Grogu and you age extremely slow. But after 900 years, you will be a baller and a half and green and 2 feet tall. So either you get trained by Vader or you get trained by Yoda. Otis and Charlie, it's all yours. And show your work.
All right. I'll let you go. I have an obvious answer, but that's pertaining to canon. So I'll let you
I was with you on Yoda until you said you got to be Grogu. Like, I'm not trying to be like pint sized. Like, but at the same time,
So being tall is overrated, man. Get that height up.
You're 6'3. You're 6'3, right, Charlie?
6'2.
He's 6'4. He's 6'4. Yeah, I'm 6'2.
Yeah, Otis 6'4. You're 6'2. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't say you've been tall your whole life. You can't say it's overrated.
I mean, I was little at one point. I was five feet at one point.
Weren't you like 6'1 in high school? Like freshman year?
Yeah, that's high school. Middle school was fun though. I was 5 feet. It was cool. I could fit in everything. It was dope. My feet weren't. Yeah, we're good. Anyway, go up. My bad. Oh, go ahead.
Otis, the floor is yours. Oh.
This is actually a tougher one because, like, it is clear that Yoda is the better trainer of the proteges in general. Like, you know, Dooku, Luke Skywalker. You know what I'm saying? They're better than Starkiller and are they better than Starkiller and Ahsoka? That's a tangent. But Yeah, I'll go you, Yoda.
No. You can show your work. You show your work. You don't have to slow down. There's no we have time.
Yeah, Yoda.
Okay. Now you did say, I will have to say this real quick. You mentioned that Yoda had better proteges in the end. You brought up Dooku and Luke. Keep in mind that Dooku does become a Sith master who caused all kinds of ruckus, and Luke leaves, who tries to kill his own nephew, and then basically leaves the Jedi Order himself. I'm not saying that Yoda's track record is a mess. I'm just pointing out some of the
flaws. I mean, both Ahsoka and Starkiller have both tried to kill Vader.
Yes, they have. They have.
So, going off of canon, there's kind of only one obvious choice here, and it's Yoda, due to the fact that all the now, if you can control your own cybernetics, that's one thing. But if you're going off of the Vader example with Vader cybernetics, Sidious built his suit purposefully so where he can't beat him, because when you're cutting pieces like that, the less organic material you have, the weaker the connection to the Force you have. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he put a fail safe in his suit to where electricity will short out the Vader suit really quickly. But I guess going into the thing that Odo was talking about earlier about having contingency plans for your Padawan, because he was using Vader as a tool, so he had to have multiple things in the back burner to stop him immediately. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be Vader and you're going through that process, you're gonna have to go through the process of like having somebody change your cybernetics, and even then, hopefully you're strong enough and you have a strong enough connection to the Force where you can fight back with him. Versus Grogu, I'm like, I'm gonna be little forever, and I'll be old as hell. But I know at some point I'm gonna beat him at some point. Because I think Yoda's race I may be wrong with this, but if I remember correctly, Yoda's race is like one of the top three, if not the best race with the strongest connection to the Force.
They probably are. I don't know how many of them are left in the galaxy, but they probably are.
Barely any. Yeah, we'll find out the next season of Mandalorian, I guess, or at some point.
Hopefully, we'll see if I know. I do wonder, though, that you said, obviously, when Vader, or I guess Anakin, was being Frankenstein to become Vader by the Emperor, he put all the failsafes in there. If the same process that was made to make him in it, if you were to be trained up by Vader, I don't imagine Vader would put the same failsafes in you that the Emperor put in him. He may put failsafes that you couldn't kill Vader, but not failsafe that you couldn't kill the Emperor.
Shit, he did with Starkiller.
But the thing is, I think at that point too, with Starkiller, this is what, the first game of Force Unleashed 1?
Force Unleashed 1, yeah.
Yeah, I think also it's under the guise that you're not supposed to kill the Emperor. I'm saying that Vader is more or less training specifically to kill the Emperor. So yeah, that's I imagine he'd want you to be able to do it. He wouldn't.
Of the first Force Unleashed game. The whole plot was like, he's a secret Padawan that he's training to be strong enough to where they can both kill the Emperor, because he knew he couldn't do it by himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. So I imagine you wouldn't have to worry about that then, about the failsafe stopping you from killing the Emperor if Vader's building you to.
Well, what Vader did instead, he just didn't teach him everything. Like, Starkiller was very, like, all the training he had was very rudimentary in the Force. It was just raw. He didn't teach him how to control it, more so just how to output power. That's and like, he's also, like, whoa, yeah. So I know if I can train you to.
He tries to kill Vader too. Yeah, he tries to. Actually, it's a good reason he didn't cheat. Yeah.
Exactly.
Spoilers for that game.
But again, if you're a Sith, you went on a Sith path. Again, that's what you had to worry about. You had to worry about people that are helping you, also setting you up for failure.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. But I mean, at that point, you gotta be building your own plan too, because everybody is trying to essentially do the same thing.
I agree.
Yoda got me though. Yoda got me. We gonna eat soup. We gonna eat some bugs or whatever. We chilling.
Yoda. So both of y'all are Team Yoda.
Yeah, and this one, Team Yoda.
I'm Team Yoda.
Okay. No, yeah. That, I'm on board. That's cool. That's cool. And that is how you play either or. Simple as that.
Yes, sir. Well, again, guys, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you guys. We love you guys. This has been another episode of the Then and Now podcast. We'll see you guys next week for another live show. I think a Loose Cannons segment, actually. And we will have the music label draft that we did yesterday put up, I believe Thursday. So we'll have that up for you guys next week.
Right.
Again, this has been another episode. We'll see you guys next week.
Ninja Scroll.